Let's start here. I want to share with you kind of a personal word, and I hope a word in season. It is for me. I hope it will be for you. Starting from this verse, 2 Corinthians 2:11, I want to talk about wisdom for warfare. I had a pretty intense week personally, and I, again, highly value, and those that are in this room, especially young ones that are going to preach and you're going to minister, I so encourage you to have a personal life with Jesus and for you to have the freedom to preach from your personal experiences in Jesus, both your strengths and your weaknesses. I think that's what Paul did. I think that's what a lot of, you know, the great ministers do. I think when it gets stale and it's just information that's canned, the studies say you remember 10% of what happens. That's shocking to me. Maybe some of you are smart with big brains like Marcus and you remember a lot more, but I think it's pretty small what people remember, but they do remember stuff that's real personal. And we don't want to come up with tricks of how to preach and various things. We want to preach the word. We want to preach it to you, but there's a glut of information out there. And what we need is more and more testimony of disciples that are really walking out this this kingdom walk. And as I do that personally, I find myself often in the midst of warfare after it's already been on me and working around me and pretty much eaten my lunch for quite some time. I don't know if anybody's like that. I'm 37 years in Jesus. I love him with all of my heart. I'm going full throttle and I'm banking my whole life in this thing. And I know that there's a devil and there's warfare and there's the enemy. I try not to overfocus on that, but I'm telling you, I go amnesiac sometimes and I'll be under harassment and be getting hit, being lied to, feeling funky times in the spirit or in my soul, man. And I'm thinking it's because I'm in a bad mood that'll go away, it's bad people around me, or it's bad circumstances. And my last thought is that there's a real enemy trying to kill me and deceive me and steal my inheritance in Jesus. Now, I know we all know better than that, I guess, but I wonder if any of you have that same experience. I wonder if any of you are trying to wait out the mood, wait out the season, wait out whatever, when really there needs to be something else activated. Because the Lord has called us to activate in spiritual warfare. We cannot be passive. We cannot be in malaise. We cannot just wait till the storm passes. The Lord has designed something different. This verse has meant a lot to me lately. 2 Corinthians 2:11. I want to show it to you in a couple versions. But it says, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. This verse that has some great dynamics in it is spoken in the midst of a passage about forgiveness, actually. In 1 Corinthians, there had been trouble with an immoral brother. And what's thought of is that Paul starts out 2 Corinthians, which is actually the third letter to Corinthians, but that's another subject, and he begins to talk to them about reaffirming. There had been discipline given this guy. And so the verse before this will say, reaffirm your love for this brother, forgive him so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we're not ignorant of his designs. In the context of bitterness and unforgiveness and slander and division, he gives this exhortation before it is forgive one another, but he gives this insight. If you don't do this, you might be outwitted by Satan. You might be outthought by him, and you might fall to his designs, and we're not to be ignorant of that. I have it in a couple other versions here. In the New King James Version, it says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. In the NSAB, it says, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we're not ignorant of his schemes. Now, there's two dynamics in that I just want to point out very strong to you. At the end of each verse, there's designs, devices, and schemes. If you don't know already, I'm here to remind you or to give you new information that the enemy has intelligent plans, and that's what it means, intelligent designs, devices, and schemes that are to assault Jesus and his people. There are specific, 1,001 different ways that evil spirits are trying to work their way into your life to steal away from you your life in Jesus and your destiny. Now, I want to say really quick here. I'm going to talk about the devil a lot today. I don't even like talking about him. I really hate that guy. And I'm going to continue hating him and want to see him destroyed completely. But I think that we are completely being negligent if we do not address this issue on a semi-regular basis. The enemy has designs, devices, and schemes, and he says here that we're not to be outwitted or to be taken advantage of. Listen, saints, you do not have to be outwitted by the enemy. And that is even in the context where the enemy is smarter than you. I think the devil is smarter than everybody in this room, especially me. I think he's way more experienced. He's been doing his dark work with all of billions of demon spirits for a long time, at least 6,000 years. He's good. He's good at what he does. And I don't say this to lift him up. I say it to make you alert and aware. We should not bumble through our Christian life just hoping spiritual warfare won't touch us and things won't get on us. In fact, 1 Peter, another apostle, will say in verse 8, be sober-minded. Don't be drunk. Don't be drunken and, you know what I mean, inebriated on life. Be watchful. For your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour someone. That someone, you could put your name there. He's prowling. He's moving. That has a bit of a hunting, you know, in kind of a in a sneaky way to try to devour you so that he can ruin your life in Jesus, your destiny in Jesus, all your relationships, and touch your life. You see, it's never whether or not we will encounter spiritual warfare. It's always about what we'll do in the midst of that spiritual warfare. It's an absolute certainty that you have been, are, and will be attacked by the enemy of our souls. It's a certainty. You've had it happen. It is happening, and it will happen until that great day where he is plunged into the lake of fire. Oh, God, hasten the day. But until that day, the Lord has apportioned that in this age, there would be war between creatures, war between his image-bearing creatures, those in Christ, and war against the enemy in the kingdom of darkness and the Antichrist spirit. The enemy hates Jesus, and he hates his people, and is using every form of deception that he can to destroy them. You know this verse, but it says that the enemy has come specifically to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus has come, good news, to give us life and that more abundantly. But before you get to part B of that verse, which is the destiny, abundant life received in Jesus, you need to know that there's a strategy and a design to steal, kill, and destroy from you in various ways. In 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Okay? And what it's talking about, this has been working for all of what is the last days, ever since Jesus resurrected, the last days started, but we're in the last of days. That's where we are. We're at the end of the end. I think we're at the sunset of the age is what I believe. And so these things have been working. This is why we're doing the Another Gospel series. It's not because I just want you to know about cults. It's because they're coming after you. They're knocking on your doors. Deceiving spirits are not benign and you stumble into them. They're coming after you with missionaries. Human flesh missionaries are knocking on your door with other Jesuses and other gospels. And so that's going to actually even increase in these last days because the teachings of demons are not just the incorporated ones that we know that have names, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, Universal Unitarianism, Islam, I would add, and multiple others. Those are ones that are in compartments that are incorporated money, big organizations. But I tell you, all of you are being attacked on a regular basis with deceiving spirits trying to get you unhinged from confidence in the person of Jesus and the glory of who he is. If you've not noticed that, I'm asking you to shake yourself, to take a big drink and a cup of coffee and sober up because something's happening. Something's happening. Now, I want to encourage you. I said this at We Wednesday, I think a couple times. with some of the college-age students and have mentioned it to some disciples. I'll run into people, believers, who question whether they're saved because they will begin to question the reality of the existence of God, of the existence of Jesus, and that we are banking everything on one book. They'll hear things like this: are you serious? You're banking everything on a Jewish guy who some people could have made up stories about, and now it's turned into this worldwide counterfeit thing? Does anybody ever hear those stories? I tried to encourage those that were with me with this. You might ask me if I've ever heard those or had those struggles, and I would say not since last Thursday. I, this week, got assaulted from the enemy. I and my spirit am solid on Jesus. I'm locked in. My confidence has grown over 37 years of knowing Jesus. But I'm telling you, that lying snake can still whisper that same old stuff to me. Are you serious? You're going to bank everything on one book and on a Jewish guy and give everything to it? Does anybody else hear this stuff? Because he's saying it. He's preaching it. See, the devil has a preaching ministry. He has a preaching ministry, and he's looking for people to amen that. And what he's doing is appealing to your soul. Your spirit in Jesus won't say yes to that. Mine never does. I know that I know that I know. I'm one with Christ. But my soul, my mind, will, and emotions that are still being saved still have little pieces of ground where I'll let those whisperings come in. Now, those are funky ones, but I'll tell you what are even along the funky line. Ones like, you'll never regain your testimony. You'll never succeed in life. You're going to, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard this. I'll get a hangnail, and within a few moments, I'm hearing, you're going to die of cancer. And I'm going, wow, you know, that could be true, because I saw this 2020 thing, and this guy got an infection in his fingernail, and man, yeah, you know what I'm doing? I'm amening the enemy. Anybody do this? I committed this amount of sins, this circumstance happened in my life, and I cannot regain my destiny in the Lord. You shame, shame, shame. Guilt, guilt, guilt. Condemnation after condemnation. He'll start talking to me about you. He'll start talking to me about Amy. The devil has opinions about my wife. And he'll say things to me about her that are not the most uplifting things, trying to get me to amen and to get discouraged about my marriage, to get discouraged about the redemption process of my divorce and how God can work all things to good, even that stuff that's meant for evil. Amen? But the enemy will come and begin to speak and divide and try to sow depression and unbelief and all these things. This week I had one of those. It was a bummer deal. I called my family together into our living room there on Emporia Street, my married kids, grandkids, and my kids from 2 years old to 24. And I told them all in a family meeting after we'd had dinner, I said, guys, I want you to know, I don't want to just preach this stuff. With all of my heart, my central desire is that the glory and government of Jesus will fill the whole planet. I believe it's going to happen, and I believe that we're part of helping it happen. I want everyone around the room to tell me what you think of that vision statement and tell me where you are with it. And we went around the room. Sam and Haley started. Hey, Sam and Haley. This is what you get for being kin to me. Sam and Haley started and began to talk about how the Holy Spirit had been convicting them 3 days earlier in an intense way about their walk in Jesus. And we began to talk about, as a family, the difference between using Jesus to get what we want and actually letting Jesus use us to get what he wants. Does everybody know what I mean? It's the difference between biblical Christianity and this false gospel that's being peddled within the American church and actually through Europe, where Jesus is your bellboy and you ought to get him because he can keep you from burning, he can keep you from being sick, he can keep you from being poor. You want Jesus because he can make your life better, like he's some kind of heavenly kind of good luck charm. And I'm telling you, that's a twist on the gospel. You can't help Jesus from doing good stuff to you. Don't let me be misheard. You're going to be blessed. But I tell you, this ain't about us being blessed. It's about his glory. It's about him and his rulership. And you're most happy when you're committed to that, even if you're being stoned to death. Does everybody know that? You can claim Jesus over and over, be sitting in a mansion with $1 million, and you're going to be a miserable human being, self-centered, still Christian. But you could be at, you know, on the mission field being stoned to death and just your face glowing like Stephen's if you're in it for his glory. The devil wants to pervert. Deceiving spirits are trying to say, they're trying to woo you back in. And Haley, I love you, but just please forgive me. Haley, in the midst of her repentance, was so frustrated about this, she punched the pillow on the couch as her and Sam were talking. Just so frustrated that she had lost again, she was using Jesus to be a better nurse instead of Jesus using her in the midst of nursing. By the way, that's better than her punching Samuel, don't you think? I mean, that's, yeah, praise the Lord. Keep praying. But I loved it. I loved the anguish that my children are going through as they battle over the throne of Jesus, his glory, and his rule in their life. We made declarations about that Monday night, everybody. Jesse was groaning through the internet on Skype up in North Dakota from Minot. That's wild that he could be in the living room with us. But there sat him and Leslie and cute Ezra. And he, I go, okay, you know, we went through them, went through Steve and Sarah. Okay, Jesse, it's your turn. And it's like a groan. Ugh. You know, he's like, I've been doing it again. And I said, do you agree with the statement? Yes. You know, and where are you with this? And he was just going through how he had fallen into using Jesus to try to have a good, blessed life instead of being all in for Jesus. And he repented. That's what we did as a family, is repented. And we made our declaration in the natural realm and the spirit realm. Well, Wednesday came around, and I started getting assaulted. Now, I need you to know, I didn't really pick up on it till Saturday morning. That's how dull I am sometimes. Busy and all these things are happening. I start getting assaulted with melancholy thoughts, depression thoughts, temptation thoughts. I can't even, it almost feels like I can't feel the peace of God anymore. I know, and I get concerned when I can't feel the peace of God. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's just static and ugh, and I feel empty. And I mean, I'm not saying it, but I'm like, am I even saved? You know what I mean? That's my exaggerated way of saying it. But I just was in a funk Friday, into Saturday, bad deal. And then it dawns on me, after 3 days of being pelted, this is probably more than a bad mood, bad people, and a bad season. I'm probably getting hit by a bad devil. And when that dawns on me, Bible verses start stirring in my head. Peace starts coming into my heart, and I get on the phone and start calling some brothers. And I start confessing everything I can know and start saying, pray for me. I'm getting hit. And sweet brothers begin to pray over the phone for me, and peace began to come upon me. I sat on the porch that afternoon, and I was being assaulted around in that time by some just stupid stuff that felt like it was pulling me. I was on automatic for funk, you know? It was like my gear was on funk. And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, you don't have to just sit around and wait for that to go away. You can tell it to go away. And I did a foolish thing on my front porch in First Emporia. I began to use the name of Jesus to run away rascals that were assaulting my mind and heart. And I did this out loud. In the name of Jesus, leave me alone. In the name of Jesus, I stop that. Now, I'm not trying to be some frothing, weird, charismatic. I love charismatics, by the way. But I mean the frothing ones. And I also don't want to be the dead evangelical, just to give equal time there. But I like my Bible. I'm not trying to make up stuff. But I feel the Spirit say that to me. I tell you, I swear, I'll be judged for this. I felt almost like a weight lift off of me and go away, and peace began to fill my soul again. By me saying, no, I resist. I'm not going to put up with this deathy feeling that's pressing in on me. The scriptures clearly say that the enemy's come to attack us, body, soul, and spirit. I believe he's after your health, and it's under attack. I'm not saying every sickness is from the devil. I'm not saying that. I can't even biblically say that, but I can say that biblically it talks about that, and especially the concern. When you go from hangnail to cancer, all right, that's filling your soul with all kinds of unbelief and funk. So he's trying to hit your body. It's your mind and emotions and will that are also under attack, your soul. This is the primary place, by the way. The devil's whispering lies, deception constantly, trying to get your mind and emotions in funky places so you make funky decisions. My body must have this activity, so I take it in and I do it. These people hate me and they're bad and they're not as spiritual as they used to be, so I start speaking about them and blaspheming and, you know, speaking negative gossip instead of speaking against, you know, to the enemy, rebuking them, rebuking the enemy off of them. I get pulled into this crazy, funky war of accusation that he wants me in. And it's also your spiritual revelation, your ability to continue, and your spiritual gifts that are under attack. The enemy doesn't want the God stuff that's in your spirit coming up out of you. When Taylor said, service is his gift, I'll bet you anything this humble brother would tell us that he's not been perfect at it. I think Caitlin even said that. Mercy and encouragement has been her gifts. I'll bet you anything the enemy's trying to make them selfish, trying to woo their hearts to make it about them where they just serve themselves and they have to fight that war. So this morning, to encourage you, and as we end, I want to give you some wisdom for warfare in three simple things. Number one, we need discernment. We need to pray for discernment. We need to ask for discernment because things are happening to us and we're not reading it right. We're still waiting on, we're looking at the wrong sources. In fact, I can show you this in Paul's life. In Acts 16, 6 and 7, watch this. Paul, who says, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel, look what he's doing. He's moving on mission, and at about Acts 16, it says, he went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, he tried to go into Bithynia with the gospel that he loved, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow him, or one of the versions, resisted him. I wonder what that felt like. You know, I really do. I wonder, what did that feel like? What was resistance from Jesus? I don't know, but Paul wanted to be on mission and couldn't get in and discerned it was the Spirit of God doing that. Now look at 1 Thessalonians 2. He's talking about another circumstance. He says, but since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored more and more eagerly with great desire to come and see you face to face. I want to get there. I'm really longing in love for you because we wanted to come to you. I, Paul, again and again. But Satan hindered us. Now, what that tells me is that Paul has the ability to discern when the Holy Spirit's stopping him from mission and when the devil's the one doing it. I think we're mixed up about this. I think we generally either go, it's always God stopping me, or it's always the devil. And we've got to be more nuanced than that. You've got to discern. Is it the Spirit of God working around me and doing discipline, or is there an enemy attack against me right now? And Paul had that ability. We need that discernment so we can see into the Spirit and develop that. Number two, we got to know about our authority. In Luke chapter 10, you all remember this passage. After the 72 returned from a two-by-two ministry of taking the kingdom, they returned and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. We went to heal, like you told us, and do the other stuff, and demons started coming out of people. It was awesome. He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. This promise for them is for us. Because I'll tell you this, having victory over the enemy is not a formula. It's not a set of teachings. It's a person. Jesus is the place for victory over the devil. Because here's the good news. Though the devil's smarter than you and more experienced than you, he's not smarter than the Holy Spirit, and he's not more powerful than the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you're in Jesus and you're using his name, you have more authority over the enemy. The enemy can't do anything to you without the permission of the Lord and without your permission. The sad thing is, we're giving permission to the enemy. Now, I believe you're going to have trouble in this world. I'm not giving you a formula for trouble-free life. I'm telling you, though, you can have victory in Jesus. And you can exercise that authority and say no to this and no to that. Romans 16, 20 says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. What a victorious thing. Revelations 12 and 11 says, and they've conquered him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. You see, you and I have the authority. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth I've got in Matthew 28, 18. Now you're in him. You've got authority. Here's the deal. He's got a grenade. You got a nuke. All right? He's got a water gun. You got a super splasher. I don't know what those are called. But you got more stuff than he's got. He's smarter and more experienced. You're in Christ. And in Christ, you can be alert and well. And what I've just said has a source of responsibility to it if you've not heard it. Because basically what I'm saying to you is this. If the enemy's deceiving you and drawing you into doubt, sin, flesh, those kinds of things, that's happening because you're allowing it to happen. I'm not going to give credit any longer to the enemy that he somehow can overwhelm me and take me somewhere. I'm giving permission. We can add an unholy amen to the lies of the enemy if we do not exercise the authority. My last thing then is fight. Fight. It says in James 4, 7, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. I hope you'll all memorize this verse and help me remember it. Submit yourselves to God, therefore, resist the devil, and he will do what, everybody? It's a law. That's a law. It has to happen. It's not up to your power. It's not up to how zealous you feel. If you submit yourself to God, you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Now the question is, how do I do this holy resistance? Well, how I do it is like Jesus did it. That's how I do it. I do it like it says in Matthew chapter 4. I've got out of the temptation story of Jesus before the three great verses. At all three temptations from the devil, this is what Jesus says. It is written. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. 7. Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord God to the test. Number 10 there. Jesus said to them, be gone, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Jesus took the book of Deuteronomy and slayed the enemy. It says the enemy went away from him, and angels came and attended to him. You see, you've got the most powerful name on the planet, Jesus. You've got the most powerful book on the planet with the living words. Listen to me. You do not need to read your Bible so you get more righteous. Righteousness is a free gift from Jesus. You get to be as righteous as he is. Amen, everybody? I don't care if you've read 1,000 chapters last week or one. You're the same righteousness if you're in Jesus. I don't read my Bible to get righteous. I read my Bible because I'm in a war. This Bible builds faith in my heart. And this Bible is toxic power weaponry against the enemy. But if you're not armed with it, if you're not armed with the truth, it's going to be real hard to battle the lies. It is. You've got to have that living, eternal truth. So it's nice for you to get some Bible verses in you about money. Because the devil's going to lie to you about money. He's going to tell you you're going to go in poverty. You're going to die. You're going to fail. You're going to be fired. It's nice to have Philippians 4:19 in your heart to quote back in a short conversation, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. End of conversation. We got to have those about our sexuality. We got to have those in our arsenal about our person and who we are, our marriages, our children, all of that, especially our spiritual safety. I'm wondering if you have them. And here, let me do this. I'm going to end with this and get real personal. And I really would like to take a moment for ministry. All of you are getting talked to. Have you noticed that you're hearing other voices other than God's Spirit and people around you? Has anybody noticed that? No? Have you noticed that you're hearing wicked lies in your brain? Is anybody else having that say, oh my? Who's been hit in the last week to two to month in an intense and deliberate way from the enemy? Just put your hand up and down. Come on, let's do this. Did God really say that? You'll never, ever overcome that sin. Anybody hearing this stuff? You're going to fail. They're going to fail you. That guy's not trustworthy anymore. That girl's not trustworthy anymore. That ministry's not. So many words. So many assaults. And those assaults end up twisting our thinking and twisting our faith. That's the problem with funky thinking. You get funky faith. When the enemy woes you toward and you hear, I got to get more money or I don't succeed, that's not a Bible principle, okay? You got to break that lie. Because if you don't, that lie will work in your mind, it'll get in your heart, and you'll begin to worship money. The most satisfying thing in your life is sexual satisfaction. That's a lie, but if that works in your head, and then it gets in your heart, you'll begin to activate your faith, and you'll be an addict. And you will reap destruction. You got to beat it here, right here. And so, I am freshly liberated again. I am here because I love you. And I'm here for us to have some real life discipleship ministry, because I think every one of you are getting pelted and hit. If you haven't been, you will be. And I'm not trying to give you ominous bad news. I'm trying to tell you you're in a real war. And there's all kinds of seduction things happen. Listen, I want to ask you this question. From the hits of the enemy that have come in your life, does anybody still bearing scars or bruises from that? Please raise your hand and put them back down. Oh, that's good. Everybody's great. Samuel, shut that video off, would you? You're in trouble this week. In a good way. Listen, look at me. This is ominous, I know, but we can't talk about what we talked about today and you not get kickback this week. Jesus always leads us in triumphant procession in Christ Jesus. You can be victorious and free this week in Jesus. Amen? But there's no way that we give out intel about the war that's happened and do equipping and you're not going to have some kind of assault. The devil's come to kill, steal, and destroy. You do not have to fear, but you have to be awake. Passive people do not win this war. You don't. You don't just wait for it to go away like a cold. You've got to be active in this battle. And some of us have been lulled to sleep, and we've got a spirit of slumber on us, a spirit of apathy, a spirit of religion on us. We're doing our time, and the enemy is twisting us up a bit. I am asking you to do what I did a little bit, and I'm saying that in the spirit of Paul, saying, follow Christ, I follow Christ. I sat on my porch, and the Spirit of God began to minister to me, and I began to do some things personally, but I could not have done it fully alone. To get out of where I was, I needed some people to throw a body block to the enemy. I needed some people to pray for me and to gather around me to help me. I wasn't going to get out of where I was, I think, by myself. And that's why he gives us the body of Christ. It's just such a great thing that we all get to be together and we all get to fight for one another. Mark, did you get hit this last week or the past couple weeks? Stinking liar. That devil. Don't you hate him? So coy. Mark Hatfield, my in-law. Think the devil doesn't try to mess with that? I'm kidding. It's all good. I just want to pray for Mark. I want to take a moment. He's been hit. He'll get hit again, and I want to throw a body block for him. Does that sound all right? How about that, everybody? Is that okay? Can we do that for you? Divine protection in your mind, in your heart, in your body, in your family. Is that worth our time? I'm going to pray for him, and I'm asking you to do one thing, two things. Keep your eyes open as I pray for him. Nobody gets to do the religious bow your head and close your eye. I want you to look up here toward Mark, and I want you to add your amen if you can to what I pray, okay? We're just going to be the family of God right now. Everybody okay? Look, keep looking. Jesus prayed. He looked up to heaven in John 17 with his eyes opened and prayed. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, protect our blessed brother and his sweet wife. Bless the Hatfield home. Protect them in Jesus' name from every deceiving spirit, from every lying, killing, stealing thing that would happen around them. Thank you that they're in the war. Thank you that they've said yes to Jesus. And Lord, we just add our prayer and we surround them by faith. God, we love them, and we love your testimony in them. Bless Jesse. Bless sweet little Jesse. And Lord, fill this home with victory, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Why am I giggling? Well, because I'm a freak, but the other reason is I'm giggling because we just buttressed up his week. We just surround him. We just did devastation in the spirit realm. It's so visceral, isn't it, to watch CNN and to see the ISIS pictures? You see all these bloody pictures and these things, and we're like, wow, that's a war. I'm telling you, that war is no more real than the war that is raging around every one of us all week. Do you know that? I actually think the war raging around us is more intense, more violent, and there's a higher cost than even that. There's something worse than getting your head cut off. Does everybody know that? Getting your faith stolen away from you. Having your destiny stolen away. Lack of focus on Jesus. That's devastating. And I say all this to say this. I hope you'll take it serious for you. And I hope you'll take it serious for the body of Christ. I think we need to hear the sound of alarm again. We're too okay when wolves are nipping at people's heels. When people are embracing stuff they shouldn't embrace. We're too okay when junk's happening around their hearts and their lives. We see them. You see them. They're in a funk. They've lost their faith. They're struggling. And we say to them, how you doing? They say, okay. And we say, have a great week. And we know there was more going on. Do you know what I'm talking about? Jet looks me in the eye. I say, Jet, how are you? And Jet goes, yeah, I'm good. I'm okay. They always talk faster, don't they, when they don't want to talk? Yeah, I'm good. I'm okay. And I say, okay, bless you, Jed. Have a great week. And I know. I had a check in my spirit. I knew the way he responded wasn't normal. I didn't engage and go, Jed, no, seriously, dude. I really want to know. How you doing? How you doing your faith? How's your life with Jesus? I'm ready. I'm ready to body block the enemy. I'm ready to come in. Does that make sense? That's love for the body, man. I'm telling you. Yesterday, some teenage kids were rushing down our road, and they busted their car. We got a big rain dip, and the kid was going too fast. It was a lowrider car, and he just smashed the heck out of the thing. Did you see the car out there? And he busted the radiator and everything. And these guys were like, they came up and sat on my porch. They parked in front of my house, but they came up and sat on my stairs without my permission. And even Melinda sent me a text. There's people sitting on your porch. And I was like, what are they doing on my porch? So I go around, and I'm ready to have a fight. They're invading my territory. And I'm feeling that thing that, you know, I feel a little bit alert about that. Some young kids, the kid's back was hurt. And he's like, can I please sit here? I go, hey, dude, how you doing? What's going on? You know, I was ready to engage. He goes, my back, and we just hit the deal. Is it any way I could get some ibuprofen? And I felt guilty and shameful and said, yeah, let me go get the ibuprofen, you know, and then blessed him and did the deal. But I felt that little alert because they were in my property. They were getting in my business. And that was from teenage kids that weren't doing anything. I got an enemy that's raging in all y'all's business and in one another's stuff, and we don't seem as concerned. It's not good for me when Marcus Deaver is not active in faith and believing in Jesus. That affects me. When Dina Funk is funky, that's awesome to do. Sean Humig begins to lose his focus. That affects me and it affects the kingdom that's here. I've been there when Doc Coons was high, and I've been there when you've been. It's always better when you're higher. Dick's one of those guys I called yesterday. I said, Dick, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. And I shared my heart with him, and he prayed a prayer over me, and I began to be filled again. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Getting me out of the hole again. I want to encourage you all to this, because we can sit here and do these little Sunday service things, and you can get the information, but the proof of the pudding is if we're going to enter this war, and we'll do it with one another. So would you all stand with me as a stand for Jesus and against an enemy? And let's make a resolve. I'd love to see a holy resistance movement rise up at another level, you know? Another level of resistance. I want to say again this one. I've seen this happen too many times. I hate this one where the enemy starts dividing relationships by getting you to talk against a person instead of against the enemy who's affecting that person. It's diabolical. Division. It seems so easy for him to do. I want us to make a decision to reject it. Reject division. Reject pride. Reject these stinking arguments that God's not going to come through. Just start in your mind this week saying, no, no, I'm not going to do that. And begin to activate your faith in Jesus. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for the power of the Holy Spirit that's been given to us in Christ. I thank you that you are raising up the body to minister to the body. Thank you that we are a family and we are truly an army. And I pray that, Lord, your royal priesthood would raise up. I pray we would not be drunken on the world and on circumstances and relationships where we're missing this prowling lion that's eating away at our heart, our faith, our belief, and our relationships. Lord, I pray you raise up watchmen, raise up standard bearers that would put their foot of faith on their lives and say no to the enemy. Thank you for the example of Joshua and the possessing of the land. I pray that we would possess the land. We would march around our Jerichos by faith, and we would see your powerful liberty. Break strongholds off of us. And Lord, let us be alert. Forgive us for falling asleep. Help us be alert in our own life and the lives of our family and the lives of the people around us. And Lord, fill us with discernment so we know what's from you and what's from the enemy. Touch everybody's life in here, I pray. And everything that the enemy's stolen, I pray you restore sevenfold. And all that's meant for evil, I pray it be turned to good by the glory of your powerful redemption. We love you and we bless you today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.